Welcome to Hoping Forward, God Stories in Every Day. I'm your host, Lori Whitney, and I'm really glad you're here. I hope that as you listen to this podcast, you begin to notice more and more things that God is doing in your own life and ways in which He is proving Himself faithful and present every day. Enjoy! As I'm recording this, Sarah, my daughter, is in the middle of her first weekend of respite away from home at Richard's Respite in Carrollton. And just a little review, my daughter Sarah, I adopted her from China. She came to live with me when she was 1.5. She is now 23 years old. She has cerebral palsy, so she has more needs than the average child or the average adult. I was looking through some old journals and books and found a letter that I had actually written to her 3 months before her adoption was final. So Sarah was already living with me. And I thought it would be good to read y'all this letter. It details quite a few of the miracles that God did in bringing about her adoption and in her early life and in my life at the time I was living in China. So I hope you enjoy it. This letter was written February 14th of 2005. My dear Zhongxue, that's Sarah's Chinese name, I am writing this to you so that you will have an understanding of where you came from and how much you are loved. It's true that you were an orphan. You were left outside an apartment building and taken to the Shenyang Orphanage. The doctors guessed that you were about 4 months old when you were found on April 18th, 2000. But there was no one to tell them for sure. I don't know who left you outside the second doorway of number 219 Pangjiangjia or why. Maybe they were too poor to take care of you. Maybe you were a forbidden second child. Maybe they thought someone else could take better care of you. We will never know all the answers. But whatever your birth parents' intentions were, God intended it all for your good. Read Jeremiah 29:11. That's my favorite verse. About the time that you were being taken to the orphanage, I was finding out that I would be coming to live in China. At that time, I could not even have imagined what God had in store for our lives. I arrived in Shenyang in August 2000 and began going to the orphanage on Saturdays in October, I think. My roommate, Natasha, and I went most weeks to feed, wash, and play with the babies there. I'd like to be able to tell you that I was immediately drawn to you specifically, but that is not how it was. There were so many babies, and we tried to give them all love and care when we visited. I don't really remember you being there until almost a year later. I think you were there, but I spent most of my time with older, handicapped kids, and you would have been in the baby room. In late summer, early fall of 2001, I remember you being there and noticing your beautiful smile. You were favored by the IEs, or caregivers, because you smiled and laughed so much. You rarely cried and were not much trouble. When we visited, the IEs were often paying attention to you and making you smile. In October 2001, Natasha and I decided to take an orphan home for Thanksgiving to give him or her extra care and attention. We actually planned to take a very little baby home to help build his or her strength and increase the chance of survival. When we asked the orphanage leaders about taking someone, we had a list of about 5 very small babies. The leader rejected all of them due to sickness or impending adoption. She then asked if we were willing to take you or another boy. His name was Zhongyo. We immediately agreed to take you, and a friend took the boy. You were so different then. You had almost no strength in any of your muscles. You had just been laying on your back in the orphanage bed for a year, and you didn't even know how to be held. You had difficulty interacting with people in any way. Natasha and I joked that white walls and ceilings were your best friends. You wouldn't smile at us, but you would at the walls. And sometimes when you were by yourself, you would burst into laughter. We said that your angels were playing with you. Who knows? Maybe you did have angels staying with you. I'd like to think you did. We kept you 4 days that time, and when I got you out again for the 2-week Christmas vacation, Natasha left to visit her parents for most of that time, and I remember it being very hard to do all by myself. You were a very good baby, but I was not used to taking care of anyone but myself. Having you out longer that time and seeing a little progress being made, you were starting to connect with people some, let us know that we should keep taking you out. Originally, we planned to take a different child each time. Because we were both working and busy, we only got you once or twice more for weekends between Christmas and April. It was April 14th, 2002, when God spoke to me and changed both of our lives. I was at Shita International Fellowship on a Sunday afternoon. We were in the middle of our praise and worship time, but I don't remember what song we were singing. Suddenly, there was a loud voice that said, "Adopt Zhongxue." It was not like an audible voice, but was more inside, and somehow I knew it was God. I have never before or since experienced anything similar. It was powerful beyond words, and I just sat down. I didn't tell anyone about this when it happened, not even Natasha. I was overwhelmed and scared. And I questioned that I had even heard what I thought. If someone else had reported the same thing happening, I would have been very cynical. I prayed and asked God for a sign, for some proof that He really wanted me to adopt you. I wanted Him to use a person to tell me His will. I still can't believe how ridiculous I was asking Him to use a person to back up what He Himself had said. He is so faithful. He did exactly what I needed, just not in the way I had expected. The next week, our kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Kennecke, gave a devotion that was truly the answer to my prayers. What Karen said was not the answer. It was something about Christians not speaking what God would want them to. But my answer lay in the scripture she referred to. As I read it, it penetrated to the depths of my heart. The scripture was 1 Kings chapter 13. In this chapter, a man of God goes to the evil king Jeroboam and prophesies. He tells the king that the Lord told him to go straight there, not to eat or drink, and then to return home by another route. As he went, a prophet came and invited him to his home for a meal, saying that the Lord had spoken to him and said it was okay. The man of God listened and believed him over what God had said. He went, he ate and drank, and he left, and he was killed. This story was very convicting to me. It let me know that I should listen to God and trust Him to take care of all of my concerns. I began looking into how to go about adopting you then. My first contact with the orphanage officials was positive, and they offered to help me arrange the adoption. These officials were very low level. Then in June, I went to America for my summer leave. I told everyone there about you and showed them lots of pictures. They were all excited and encouraging, especially Grandma and Grandpa. They loved you and accepted you as their own from the beginning. That summer, hepatitis hit the orphanage hard. My friend Dana knew I wanted to adopt you, and she was worried. She took you home from the orphanage, had you tested for hepatitis negative, and took wonderful care of you for about a month until I returned. She loved you so much and was so happy to have you with her. As soon as I returned to China, you came to live with me permanently. I'm very grateful to God for giving me the gift of you. Since that time, August of 2002, you have been surrounded by people who love you dearly. I, Shergong, was my cleaning lady, part-time, before she was your IE, caregiver, nanny. When I asked if she would take care of you while I worked, she had to pray about it, because she wasn't sure she could or would want to take care of a child. She said that taking care of you was what God wanted her to do, and she has given you her total unconditional love and commitment. She has treated you like you were her own daughter and has helped you more than I could have hoped or imagined. She has pushed you and prayed for you and taught you and me. Her faith and trust in the Lord have amazed, inspired, encouraged, and convicted me. I have been so blessed by the songs IE has taught you. You have become such a little evangelist, singing Jesus, I love you, and telling people that Jesus loves them, especially at the hospital where you go to get therapy. You have been shown so much love by my friends here too. Natasha, Dana, Jill, Crystal, Shannon, Stacy, Amy, Becca, John, and Lynn. These people have all touched your life in a special way. They have supported and encouraged me, loved, played with, and taught you. I hope that you will remember them and all they have added to your life. Since August 2002, we have gone through lots of ups and downs in the adoption. When I first signed the fostering agreement and met with the director of the orphanage, I was told that I could foster you, but that because of your cerebral palsy, I would not be able to adopt you. This was a bit disheartening, but I had confidence that God said to do it, and so it would happen. Later, I was told that when you could walk and talk well, I would be able to adopt you. This continued to be what was said until mid-January of 2004. At that point, I asked to take you with me on home leave in June. I was told by the director that there was no way and that adoption was also an impossibility. I had been planning and talking and trying to fix it all myself, and I finally accepted that I couldn't do anything on my own. I felt that God was nudging me, telling me to back off and let him take care of it all. I let it go and gave it all to him, and he did just that. It wasn't long after that until the director called my secretary and said that she wanted to take us to dinner. A week later, this is all early to mid-March, maybe, we went to a nice restaurant, had an expensive dinner, and the director told me that I could adopt. She even went so far as to say she had already sent someone to Beijing to arrange it all. The Beijing liaison was at the dinner and asked why all my paperwork had not been done. From then, everything snowballed. God seemed to work the most impossible things out at every turn. I couldn't get a Chinese background check without a green card. Everyone at the school was on an F visa then, which is a business visa. My visa was expiring, and the PSB had refused to renew, suggesting that we get visas through a training center. The MTI training center was willing to give one green card, and since mine was the first one to run out, I got it. After that, the PSB relented and renewed all the F visas for everyone else. Twice, I stayed home from church due to illness, and both times, important documents were delivered by mail. I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't been home, as I usually got mail at school and didn't have a post box at my home. He is so faithful. Last October, so that would have been October 2004, it seemed that it was all going to be finished within a month. I even expected to get to take you to the U.S. for the holidays, but that is not what happened. At the end of October, I was called to meet with provincial civil affairs and orphanage officials. Some bad things were going on at the orphanage then, and I was very frightened that they would take you away from me. Beijing also called then and said they were ready to match me with a child, but they had never heard of you. It turned out that the orphanage leaders had lied about everything, had never even gotten provincial approval for me to adopt you, and definitely hadn't arranged anything in Beijing. The meeting we went to was to get provincial approval for the adoption. The man we met approved you to be adopted and asked where your papers were. The orphanage person admitted that they had not been done and would take another 2 months to do. I was so angry and frustrated and discouraged. All my plans for the U.S. trip were ruined. Now I had to wait again for them to do things, and I couldn't do anything about it. God was teaching me again to trust Him and give all my cares to Him. I just seemed to need that lesson over and over. Now we are waiting. I've been told that your papers were submitted to Liaoning province officials on February 5th, and that they will be sent to Beijing soon. I hope it is true this time, but I guess it doesn't really matter. You are already my daughter in my heart, and I am already your mom in your heart. We don't really need a piece of paper to prove we are family or to prove we love one another. I couldn't love you more if I had given birth to you. You are God's gift to me. You will always have my love, and what is even greater, you will always have His love. My prayer is that you will accept His love now and continue to trust it as you grow older. You are His child, and you are mine. All my love always, Mama. I hope you enjoyed Sarah's story. I do want to make clear that I did have her permission to record it and to publish it as the podcast. I also have gotten her permission to type out the letter. And if anyone is interested in getting a copy of my letter to Sarah, basically giving her life story, I would be absolutely happy to send it to you. Just send me an email at lori.r.whitney@gmail.com, and I'll send it right away. Keep looking for God in your story. Are you enjoying Hoping Forward, God's Stories in Every Day? If so, be sure to follow us on your podcast app so that you don't miss an episode. I would also really appreciate it if you would rate and review the podcast to make it easier for others to find. If you enjoyed this episode, would you be willing to take a minute to share it on your social media or send it to a friend via text or email? Do you have a God story you'd like to share? I would love to hear it. You can contact me at the Hoping Forward Podcast Facebook page or through email at lori.r.whitney@gmail.com. Until next time, keep looking for God in your story.